I could probably go for a while. I'm not sure myself, but you know, when things aren't tied up, you're gonna eventually you get tripped up. Is that right?
Yes.
So I'm gonna start the message while I'm timing. I don't want to trip up.
Take a chance, Mel.
I could take the chance.
Take a chance. That's what we do all the time, isn't it? Seems like.
Yeah,
we're gonna take a chance.
We tend to do that, and I want to echo that a few weeks ago, the Lord, I was putting my boots on. And I was in the rec room downstairs in my house, and I didn't want to put my foot up on the chair. And so I walked over to the stairway, and I was going to put my feet up onto a couple steps up to easily tie my boots. And while I was doing that, I felt the Lord say, there's a message here. Really, it was about tying things up. There are some things that need to be tied up. There's things that can trip you up as an individual person, and there are things that can trip us up as a church body. And so this isn't surprising to me that what's already been said about the church and the concern for the church, there's just so much going on. The deluge of this overwhelming tidal wave of that you see in the world, all this news, and a lot of it being fake, and a lot of it being twisted, and a lot, and so much of it, and you can just be overwhelmed by it. And I've said this so many times, you know, when things are happening in the world in a very concentrated, a really expanded kind of way, there's something going on in the spirit realm. What is loosed on earth has been loosed in heaven. What's bound in on earth has been bound in heaven. There's a connection, and we can see things. We can understand overarching spiritual battle lots of times by this the overwhelming thing that keeps coming at you as a person in this physical world. And so here's all this fake news and inundation. You don't know what to trust. Who can you trust? What news source is the best news source? Are you getting the right kind of information? Is truth really out there? And then you can start questioning things or like a lot of people do, just throw your hands up in the air. And that's the heck of this, you know. And this is something that we don't want to do as the body of Christ, because we do have a truthful foundation upon which we can stand. Is that right? Now, Psalm 127. Let me tell you
about this. Yesterday. The day before, so I started typing up what things I wanted to pull together for the message for today. And then yesterday, Kathy, what was that? Were you just, how did you come across that scripture? You remember?
Oh, I was thinking of one thing, and so I went to the section in Psalms and then read something else. I was coming up with what I felt for the bulletin, the scripture for the bulletin.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking about one scripture, but I went to that area and read the whole thing, and then that other scripture just popped out at me.
Now,
that we put in the bulletin.
Now, Psalm 127:1 says this, unless the Lord
build the house. They labor in vain who build it. Now we're talking about the church and our concern with the church. And I went through the same kind of thing that Reggie had gone through over the last few days. I have a big concern, and the way things are happening within the church of this nation, more so than others, because I think Reggie said it, was that other places, they're not so concerned about, although it's true that some people are concerned about their ministry, what God's going to do through them. And it ends up being the American church almost takes Jesus out of the picture,
right.
Uses his name, talks about the Spirit, but yet they're really concerned about their ministry. You know? And that is a danger in the church. Now, I don't think that we have it in this local body, but there's one thing that we have to be careful of. Let's make sure that the laces are tied about this.
Right.
That because we're all fallible. We all can get drawn into attitudes of thinking or open up to particular doctrines that are not God at all. It's shrouded in out of the Word, and the Word's twisted around, and we can kind of go, oh yeah, I see what you're saying there, and get led down the wrong path. Because we're in this kind of situation in the world. The world is, there's deception. Was that Melinda that was talking about? You know, there's lots of deception.
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, well, I can't be deceived. I got the Holy Spirit in me. You can be deceived. I can be deceived. And if you think you can't be, just because the Spirit is within you, you better be in touch with the Spirit every single second, or you can be deceived. You can be led off. And it's very true, that every single person in here has been let off in their minds about numbers of different things. It's very true. You know, that guy that was talking, you know, that guy, the California guy there.
Hansen.
Yeah. He was saying, geez, I wish I could take back what I taught those years ago. You know, there's things that I look back on and go, you know what? That wasn't the right approach. That really wasn't the right doctrine. I was just flowing with what everybody else was teaching. And I didn't really, and sometimes, you know, that's the place that you're in, and you're moving, and you grow. Right? We grow. And so this is all important, and we all understand, hopefully, we all understand that we are in this process together. Where none of us are at some higher place than others in the process. Now, some people have greater spiritual discernment, some people have a greater knowledge of the Word. So, you know, there are differences. And you can't hide from that fact. We're not all equal. You know. God gives as he wills, doesn't he? And then we are investing into God, into his will, into his word, and we reap according to our sowing too. So we're all at different places. But we're all in process. Nobody's at a perfect spot. And so it's important for us that we give room to one another. Is that right?
Yes.
We have to give room to one another. But that also doesn't mean that we don't deal with situations.
Right.
You know, there's the right kind of balance. And the church, I'm concerned about, is afraid to deal with situations that need to get dealt with, and the other side of it, there's this this fleshy way of dealing with things. Right? And so we've got to be careful. We've got to have our shoes tied. And it takes a process. It takes thought. Because the things I'm going to talk about here, we want the Lord to build this house.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're building something on our own, and it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to have some kind of semblance of God. We certainly will be saying His name, but is the Holy Spirit really reigning supreme inside of our hearts? And I'm going to start this. Let me see if I want to say something else here first. I actually wrote a bunch of stuff down this time. I basically said this. I just said it a little differently. You know, there's counterfeit manifestations of the Spirit. I kind of alluded to this the last time I spoke. You can go to some churches in the United States, these manifestations are of, quote, the Holy Spirit are copied because they think that that's being spiritual. They think that almost being zombie-like is being controlled by the Spirit. I'm going to talk about the Spirit of God here near the beginning of this message. I got 3 points I want to get to today. Okay. All right. So, you don't have to go to it. It's one little verse. But if you're taking notes, which is always a good idea, you go back and look at some things and ponder these things. Because if you're anything like me, you're not going to remember. I'm not going to remember everything that I said. And I'm the one saying it. It's a good thing I write things down and I can go back and look at it again. And that's why it is important that we be students of the Word. That when a message is being brought, that we're taking it to heart. We're grabbing a hold of it. Well, how do you grab a hold of it? You know if you can remember things. Some people in here probably have great memories. But I can't see anybody. No, wait a minute. Maybe some of the younger ones are good. So now, I might say some things today that are going to poke you. You might think I'm talking directly to you. You might be. You might, if the shoe fits, you wear it, right? But I want to say that what I have to do as a preacher, being an elder in a church, and this is true on principle. When things happen within a body, I have to, elders have to separate the people in a situation and look at the principles that are involved and approach the principle that needs to be addressed. And this way, I don't become emotionally involved on either side of an issue. And that's important if you're dealing as a parent with the kids. You need to know what your child is like. And you do. As time goes by, you say, oh, well, that person's like this. So I have to approach it like that. That idea, right? And so, but you want to teach the principles. You want to approach things according to the principles of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord. Are we in the same ballpark here?
Yes.
All right. So I might say things, and you're going to think, oh, he was driving by my house and he saw me do this, and now he's trying to get at me here. No.
We've been
said hope before I melt.
And you know what? I want to say this. You, all of you, every person in here, I'm looking at every single person in here, and I can say you have a heart for God because you're still coming back. You get poked. And hopefully it's not me that's poking, it's the Holy Spirit. I think somebody said talk about conviction. You know, to be convicted by the Spirit of God, that means something to me. You know, that we can hear the need of the word, the thing that's not so easy. Because this is the other thing that bothers me about a lot of churches. They don't want to say the hard thing. They don't want to deal with stuff. They want to say how all they want to talk about is God's love. And guess what? I'm going to talk about God's love today. But maybe not in the same way that you're expecting it. But it is God's love, what I'm going to be talking about today too. And you have already embraced this concept. So I'm coming to you not as, you know, well, you guys got to get on the stick here. I have to get on the stick here. No, we're in the right kind of process, and you want to be in a church where not only you're hearing it from the pulpit, but you're living it yourself, and you have people around you that are living it too. And that's what I love about this church. But let's not get too haughty about it. Because God has a way of taking care of that, doesn't he? But I think we need to know this, and we need to be people that are going to take a hold of criticism as well as encouragement. Because we need both. Don't we?
Yeah.
We need both.
Yeah.
All right. So, I want to talk about, because here's something where I think especially the American church, but any church across the world, when we talk about being Spirit-led, okay? Now, we might have a particular concept of what that means, but we better be really sure what that means, so that we display and do as we need to. First of all, how do you know if you're being led by the Spirit? What would be some ways that would happen?
Peace with me.
Okay, all right, peace. Now, sometimes you can feel real good about yourself and it might not be the peace of God. But that is an indication, at least, isn't it? What else is there?
Fruit.
Let's say it again.
Fruit.
Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit is not there, don't think that you're being led by the Spirit. One of the fruits is peace, isn't it? But there should be some other things too. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit. And there's 9 manifestations. One fruit. All of that should be happening inside of you if you're being led and moved on by the Spirit of God. One might be more predominant, but all of that's going to be working in your life, in my life. So do you know what they are?
Love.
Joy, gentleness,
goodness,
kindness.
Self-control, kindness. Is goodness and kindness, it depends on the translation, right?
Patience.
There, let's. Yeah, long suffering. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and let's just look at that very quickly. Galatians chapter 5, start in verse 22. Because, oh boy, we want to be a Spirit-led church, don't we? But that means something very specific. It does not mean a free-for-all.
which I'll get to. What's going to happen in a spirit-led church is going to be some other things too, but here's definitely what needs to be there. The fruit, verse 22, Galatians 5. But the fruit, notice singular, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All right? When we come in here, we want and we invite the Holy Spirit to have His way in our hearts and our minds in the service. And that is an initial step that we have to do. We have to invite Him in because He is a gentleman. He doesn't barge in. Does He?
No.
We want to have to, we want Him to be among us and to touch our hearts. So that attitude has to be when we come together in a church, quote, church setting, in a setting where we're assembled together. Where two or three are gathered, there He is, right? He's going to be there. But that doesn't mean that the enemy can't be in there working on your mind. And what happens a lot is, if I end up, or whoever's preaching ends up saying something and it bothers you, you don't hear the rest of that person's sentences for a long time. You're starting to battle with that phrase that has bugged you. Or you're thinking about, is he talking about me? Oh, I know. He's thinking about such and such. And then while those things are going on in our minds, you're missing the rest of it. I don't know how many times I have said something and somebody's come up to me afterwards, or maybe 3 or 4 days later or something, and said, that really bothered me about such and such. And then talk about it with them. And I said, well, didn't you hear me say after that about da 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 da? You said that. Well, you know why? Because people get wrapped up, right? They get hung up, they get wrapped up in a particular thing. And this, there's a danger there. And when the church gets together, let's be sure that we give each other room. Hear people out. You know, you can write down, I ain't got to talk to Malcolm about this. But then keep listening, though. Okay? Or whoever's doing the preaching. But the fruit of the Spirit's going to be there. What's something else that shows that the Spirit is among us?
Even though it's not up there, having no fear?
Yeah, because true love casts out all fear, right? So, not having fear. If there's fear among us, a fear to ask a question, a fear to offer something, then you or I have to get beyond that. Now, I want to talk to us, because we're in a different kind of a situation. We're in what some people call an open concept church, and the open church. And that's what I want to address for us, because that's particular to us as a local body. Now, what do I mean? Or what does the concept mean, open church? What does that mean?
They're not a denomination.
First of all, we're not connected with a denomination. We don't have to follow a set of rules that are coming down from some other church.
I tell at the hospital when I first started, when they ask me, I'll say we're non-denominational. and they don't think I belong to a church.
Any church.
I was telling my cousin on the reservation that, and he says, I just tell them we're Baptist.
That satisfies a lot of people, doesn't it?
I can't get through this non-denomination.
What else can you say? Steve, what's an open church?
I guess you have the freedom to share things as the Lord puts them on your heart. You're not sitting on your hands listening to some guy preach at you.
Okay.
Everybody? We have a little bit of a say in what's going on.
There's a back and forth in an open church. There can be a back and forth. There is a freedom there. But I want to talk about that because it's not just throwing up in the air. Everybody talks at the same time during a message. When people are bringing a message, a person doesn't stand up and take over the message for the next 20 minutes or something, right? I mean, there are, and we're gonna look at this particularly because this could be a problem that we have because we are open in an open concept type of thing. We don't. The reason why we are, quote, open concept is because in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, I think it's verse 16, it talks about how we grow up into God by that which every joint supplies. Every person within the body and the connections that people make within the body and what they share and what they bring is important for the whole growth of the body. It doesn't come from just the person that's preaching. And that's very obvious. And this is a good thing about what we have established here in this church. It should, every church should have an open concept. But you know what the problem is? There are people who will see an opportunity to talk. And we can go off into all kinds of different rabbit trails. What's been good about this church so far is that people have been connected in such a way with whatever the main message has been, what people have shared has been part of that message. That is a good thing. We're not off on rabbit trails. And hopefully we won't allow that to happen because of this idea of open concept and therefore let anybody talk at any time. And this is one of the things I want to say is that as I was praying over these last numbers of weeks, and it has nothing to do with anything that's happened within the last couple of weeks. This is something that God put me on before these last two or three weeks from the last time that I preached 3 weeks ago. God has been speaking something to me, and then situations have happened and confirmed things and made me think about things more. And 2 weeks ago, I'm at my computer, and I thought, I need a new desktop wallpaper. I'm sick of the one I have. I want something different. And so I went on, and I was looking at, and this picture of a wooded lane that splits off into two, and yellow leaves, if you know that. That poem, Robert Frost's poem, that says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And then he says, and I took the one that was less traveled, and he was much the better for it, right? But the Lord spoke to me. When I saw that picture, the Lord said, you put that up, you need a reminder that every day, you have a choice to make. And one road's good and the other road isn't. You have choices to make every day. But I also sensed from the Lord that because I was thinking about the church and things I've seen on the internet about churches across the country, I thought, you know, we here as a church need to understand that there are times where we come to splits in the road, and we hopefully are going to all take the same road, right? And what is it that's going to keep that from happening? Well, there's a few things that can stop that from happening. And I want to talk here first about the whole concept of being led by the Spirit. All right? So we're going to do that first.
And then I'll get back into the other thing.
I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul, now I firmly believe that the first churches were open concept. I think that God establishes a particular pattern, and that's the pattern that we should always be on, but lots of churches aren't that way. You know why? Because it's more painful. It's more excruciating for the leadership to have all kinds of input coming in and some of it not being really led by the Spirit. And so I'm just being honest. So preachers, pastors, why bother with it? I'm in control. I'm going to run the service. This is how it's going to be. And we'll save a lot of problems. Well, yeah, that's true. But then you don't have the ability of other people to interject. And so that part of the whole body growing gets diminished because not every joint's supplying now. You have a group of spectators watching, listening to the worship team, the pastor, whatever. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we don't want that. But we don't want to have things take... Oh, I got so much going on in my head.
Hey, Malcolm, if you're going to walk away, you're going to have to put the mic out. Otherwise, it won't copy.
Say that again. Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
I'm talking about your headpiece.
I know. But the recorder might not hear. Okay.
You know.
Yeah, go ahead.
While you're doing that, you've been poking at us, so we're leaving. If he says anything that applies to us, you guys let us know.
Steve, I'm sorry that you're leaving because it's really directed to you.
Yeah, we have to head down ourselves.
Make sure you make a copy of that so we can hear the rest of it. I want to be
told. Yeah. Every single person in here is that kind of person.
Yeah.
I like that. And I think God likes that. Is it not? Still not good? Hello? I turned it on. Am I all right? Okay. What was I saying?
1 Corinthians 14.
Okay. So this whole concept of the open concept has balances to it. And here's Paul, and this is what he says. Okay. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I'm going to start in verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. Now, before we even go on, what does that mean to you?
Not everybody speaks.
Not everybody's going to speak in a service. Okay? In fact, He says two or three. Now, what's it mean? And let the other judge. What's that talking about?
We have that saying. Others have that saying.
Okay. All right.
It's led by the Spirit.
There has to be what? What?
Discerning of Spirit.
There's going to be a discerning of Spirit. Other people are going to confirm or not.
Right.
Right? So it's important to realize that when people speak, and this is what I don't want to happen here, is that people now withdraw because, well, are people going to be judging me? No, that isn't exactly what's going on here. We make ourselves, if you offer things to the body of Christ, you're being vulnerable. I'm being vulnerable. I need to be vulnerable to speak what I feel the Lord's speaking. Now, you know what? Most of the time, we're all going to be on the mark, but there's going to be times where we're not. And somebody might have to say something. And we've been, we haven't really confronted that often around here. Because we've really been sowing to people having the freedom to speak. And we want this to continue. But this is where the road splits here. Can you and I be people that can hear somebody say to them, I didn't feel that was by the Spirit. I disagree with you about that. Can we hear that as people? And you know what? I'm afraid in saying what I'm saying right now that people are going to just withdraw. Say, well, I'm not going to make myself vulnerable. There's a road splitting. And if we're going to continue walking together, we need to love one another enough that we can be vulnerable. That when we offer up something, you know, like Eric?
Yes.
Eric did that prayer. Wow. You know, there was an immediate thing, an immediate encouragement there. And we tend, as a body, to do that for people that are just stepping out. Because we want to encourage. And there is that kind of grace period. But there comes a time, as people mature in the Lord, where when they might not be perfect in what they're saying, that it's time for them to hear some correction. And we have to be people that can do that and be able to be people that can take that, knowing that we're not being attacked, but that we're growing in the Lord. When I finished all this message, I thought, you know what? This is a message for mature people to continue to grow in Christ. To be more vulnerable to the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God through other people. Glenn, you want to say something?
Yeah. You know, the scripture says it's the testimony of Jesus that's the spirit of prophecy. So if that is your desire and that is your aim, you have no fear.
That's right.
But if it's the testimony of yourself,
yeah,
please fear.
That's right. Yeah. I think I got onto that at the beginning of this. There's too much in the American church where it's really covered by religious verbiage. It's really using Jesus' name to really have attention to yourself. And you want to be careful about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say too that if you're the person who's going up to someone and says, I don't believe that was led by the Spirit, you better be in the Spirit.
You're darn right.
For yourself.
Yeah. Right. That's my next point.
So it's a two-way street. You can't forget that. Right?
Exactly.
So not everybody's just going up because they don't like something that somebody said.
Right.
And all of a sudden saying, well, I don't think I was led by the Spirit because I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So, and if there's more you want to say, because the next point is about confronting one.
Right.
Because people don't want to do that either. And as a church, you know, we talk about how much we love one another. Well, there is no fear in love. There is, we're not going to be little nitpickers with each other, and this is what's important about the confronting. You know, just when somebody does something, you don't go running to them and say, hey, you did this and this wrong. No. It's after a period of time where you see a pattern in a person, and you've prayed for that person, and you've got to, and you've developed a relationship with that person where you can now have the freedom as a brother or sister in Christ to go to that person and talk to them about that particular issue, knowing that you're not going out of frustration because of your own personal preferences or your likes or dislikes, but that this is something that God has placed on your heart and you're going to go do. Right? Why?
The scripture says do everything decently and in order. I think that we want that not only in our church, but in our house, in our workplace, in our nation.
It goes for everything. It really does. As we continue with this verse, somebody got here? No? All right. It continues here. In verse 30, it says, if anything be revealed to another that sits by, that in first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may hear. Now, obviously, he's talking about two or three, then, and he talks about all. This particular verse is saying that anybody can. But usually, in a service, it's going to be two or three. Or as much as two or three. Right? So that all may learn and all might be comforted. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So when you or I say something, it's subject to people, isn't it? To either witness to or not. You're hearing a message today. If you're hearing it with spiritual ears, you're looking to see, is this coming from God? Is this the Spirit speaking to me? And it might take a while. It doesn't have to be something instant, but you should be pondering what's being said, shouldn't you? And let the Lord show you if what I'm saying is true. Verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. It isn't a mishmash. It isn't here to talk about this and then talk about that and then talk about this other thing and then talk. God has a purpose in when we get together, every time we meet together, assembling ourselves together. There's particular purposes. And through that theme of what comes forth is where God speaks an individual thing to individuals. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So, maybe the theme is on tying your shoes. You know, making sure that you're doing things right, but you know, make sure you get your shoes tied. And God might say to me, "Well, you're being pretty sloppy at home. You're not helping Kathy enough." She tells me enough, but she doesn't. That could be something where I have something God wants me to tie up a little better, and it might be something different for you. But the theme comes across, and he speaks to you as an individual. Okay? So that's what that's all about. So I guess we'll go to this next. I'm going to talk about one other thing.
Oh, you're going to go to 34 then?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to that one for a while. All right.
Yeah, I was just reading that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's two.
I was like,
you want to go there? No. That'd be another message. It's not. It doesn't flow with the theme of this one, so we won't go there.
I want to say this about being led by the Spirit. As we can just read, there is an order, right? It isn't a spiritual free-for-all. It's not a God of confusion. There's a message that he wants to bring. Psalm 18:16, you don't have to put it up. It says, a person's gift makes room for him. A person's gift makes room for him. Now, I want to just say this in this kind of context. We don't need to say to one another, the Lord told me to tell you. I want you to know that you don't have, you can say it. You don't have to say it that way. Because if you're being led by the Spirit, we expect that if you're going to share something with us, it better be from the Lord. Right? This is what I see. I want to tell you the reason, because I have seen on the internet, I've been in churches decades ago that use the name of the Lord to bully people into doing things because, well, God told me to tell you. Now, if you've said that in the last numbers of weeks, don't think I'm thinking about you. I'm talking about what I've seen in churches, what we need to be aware of, tying our bootlaces on this thing, so that we understand that we're not here and we're not going to necessarily listen to somebody just because they say, the Lord told me. The gift makes room for itself. All right, here's an example. This morning, another thing that happened with Kathy was, she said, Malcolm, I'm going to read, she read the scripture out of Colossians to me. Colossians 4:6. And I'm going to use it later on. Colossians 4:6 says, let's see. What does it say?
Let your
speech be seasoned with salt, right? Well, it goes with something else I was going to say. And I'm like, oh, I want to use that scripture as a support for this other thing. And you know, Kathy has a way of saying things to me, and I go. And I sense the Spirit of God, right?
Yeah.
Now, people, she could say, you know, Malcolm, I have a discerning spirit. You know, Malcolm, I understand what the Spirit is speaking to me, and this is what he's telling me. No, all she has to do is say something, and it quickens to me, and I go, oh, Kathy has done this over and over and over again with me. Her gift makes room for itself. I can accept because I see the evidence of something. I don't need somebody to tell me that they're an apostle. And I have had people, since I've been up here, come to me and say, you know, I have an apostolic ministry. You know what? The gift will make room for itself. You don't have to tell me that. And you don't need to try to push that on somebody else. And I want you to be aware of that. Because you know what I've found? People that do that, they don't have that gift. They think they have that gift. More often than not. Now, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do. But I'll tell you, more often than not, that isn't what the case is.
I gotta make sure.
So it's really, really important that we're open to people, that we give people the benefit of the doubt, that we're loving, that we're accepting, they're included. But, you know, let's not be naive. Don't be spiritually naive. That is something we need to tie up our boots with. Just because somebody comes through the door and says Jesus' name, we don't fall all over them as a brother or sister in Christ. I'm going to be open to them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to believe. think that they are brother and sister in Christ. You know, our hearts are open. But you know what? Time will tell. You know that? Time will tell. And that's important for us, not just for me. That's how it should be with all of us, that we have an open heart, but it's guarded too. You have to have some of that there. This is important for where we're going to, for the influx of people that are going to start coming in when the world starts falling apart. There's going to be a lot more people in here, and there's going to be a lot more flesh to deal with. And we've got to be aware of these things. Or we get taken advantage of. Just be aware of this. Okay? I am going to stop right here. I have two other things, and I think the Spirit wants me to save this so I can go into detail on it next week. Oh, good. But I want us to know that, you know, we're a Spirit-led church as the Spirit moves through us. And all of us are fallible, and we don't all move in the Spirit. And, you know, you might think, well, nothing's out of the Spirit about saying it that way or this way. I'll talk about that next week, actually. But you know, and that's fine. You have that as a person in the Lord to say, well, I don't think he's right about that. So I don't expect you to accept what I'm saying. I hope that you let me talk. I gotta do this one. Because I'll get up, I get you all ready to be done, and then I come back at you. Just something about eldership here, and then I will. There, in Hebrews 13:17, it says that people are supposed to obey the elders who have the rule over you. I want to talk about that for a second, because I am going to talk a little bit about eldership. That word obey, which might make you think, oh, I just, whatever that person tells me, I got to do. No, that isn't what it means. Here's what that word means. Be, that you will permit yourself to be persuaded by that person. That's what that word means. It doesn't mean blind obedience. And where I came from in a previous three churches ago, we were taught that we were to be blindly obedient. If the elders of a church, the pastors of a church, said that you're supposed to do this, you were to blindly obey. Because that's what that says. Well, I didn't know any better, and I did. Whatever they said, that's what I did. Stupid me. And I don't want that for you. Just because somebody's in a position of authority doesn't mean that you blindly accept what they have to say. But you know what you do have to do? You have to permit yourself to be persuaded by what they have to say. You have to have that in your heart to say, well, that person has been called into that position in the church. That person's been a minister for so long, maybe I should at least consider what they're saying to me. Okay? You understand that? So, I just thought I'd better get that out, because I am going to talk about that next week. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, another translation says, have confidence in them. So, I think that confidence is built on trust.
It's built on trust.
And I think that's what you're saying. Time will tell. You have to build that trust in.
Yeah, it all deals with that. It gets back to what we were talking about as far as Jesus is concerned. Jesus wants a relationship with us. It gets right down to that. It's not all the do's and the don'ts and all of these things, but, you know, he wants a relationship. And for us to deal as a church and grow as a church and go down the same path together, and I hope that that's what we're going to do, that above everything, Love is going to, love is, that, that was the other, one of the other points, which I'll have to wait until next week for. But that we want to be together. We want to do this together. We want to grow together. We're not going to be at each other. We're going to be together. Right?
Yes.
It's relationship all the way around. I don't know where this is touching you, if it even means anything right now, but believe me, there's going to be an impact with this message as a church, you as an individual.